This morning we're going to talk about some standards that God has put in our life that are important. We've been talking about heaven's open door, and we're going to finish up this week on that and launch into baptism, because the two kind of intertwine. And then next week I will go ahead and I will just bring a little bit more about baptism. We're going to have Baptism Sunday next week. Keep your fingers crossed. The weather's supposed to be nice. The creek will be nice and cool, as always, and it should be a wonderful time. But anyway, and if you know somebody, you know, throughout the week, if you meet with somebody and you get into a discussion about this, because you may, I'm going to give you some stuff to think about. If you get in a discussion with somebody, you know, encourage them. Come to the picnic, at least. Maybe come to a service. Come to the picnic and get baptized. And I know that this message is going out over the air. If any of you who are listening to this message this week feel the need to be baptized, I encourage you to at least to come to Solid Rock Church next Sunday, or come down to the park next Sunday in Salem Park and get baptized. This is something that is just amazing. Those of us who have, I think just about everybody here has experienced this, so what I'm giving you is something to give to somebody else, or maybe something that you've never seen before about baptism. In Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." We've been talking about how we have to trust God with our heart, because that is the very center of everything that we are. If we try to trust Him with our minds, we're going to try to use our reasoning. And sometimes we might think, you know, God, I'm not so sure about this, because God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And that's why He said, just give me your heart and trust me. Trust me in this with all of our heart. Because you see, our heart is where Father God breathes and touches us. It's where He breathed. He breathed His life into us. He touches us in our heart. We find in John 20, 21 and 22, when Jesus was talking to His disciples towards the end of His ministry, He says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The breath of God gives us three things. We've looked at two of these things already. First of all, we've looked at the breath of God gives us supernatural peace. The breath of God gives us our life a supernatural relationship with the Father. And this week we're looking at the breath of God gives us a supernatural purpose and mission. Now, if you want to go back to John 20, 21, and 22, you'll notice there that Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. You see, our purpose and mission is given to us by God, and it is breathed into our spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you have your heart wrapped around the purpose and mission of God, you can't help yourself. You're going to find yourself talking about Jesus and wondering why. Because that's just what happens when it's in your heart, okay? Our purpose and our mission should be a reflection of Christ's purpose and mission. I want to read the last words that Christ gave his disciples and the apostles before He left this world and went to heaven. In Matthew 28, 18 through 20, this is called the Great Commission. It's also called the Great Mission. This is our commission. This is our mission. Jesus says to them, He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." That's very important, because He passes that authority on to us. And He says, "Therefore," because He has all of this authority to pass on. Now He's passing it on. And He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now this is an amazing mission that God has given us. First of all, He says, because I have all authority, now I am transferring my authority into your care for a mission. And I am commissioning you into a mission. That's what it means. Commissioning means I'm sending you on a mission. And this is the mission of the church from the beginning of the church. He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you in the very end of the age. Notice he says, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Knowing that the Father has all authority, knowing that Jesus has received all this authority, and knowing that the Holy Spirit now is passing this authority and this life on into us. He says, so I want you to go and I want you to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now notice that. I'm sending you to baptize. Make disciples and baptize. If you are a disciple of Christ, you've been baptized. Don't even try to argue this with me. If you really want to be a disciple of Christ, you're going to get baptized, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. If you are a disciple of Christ and not just a convert, because there's a difference. We can be converted to Christ, and we can believe in Christ, and we can kind of walk along with Christ, but a disciple is someone who takes everything that God has given them, and they put it into practice and into use, and they do it from the very beginning. So here we know that we're supposed to do this, okay? Jesus says, baptize people, the disciples, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So where do we start with this mission? Where do we start with it? Well, if we go over to Acts 2, 38 and 39, we see that Peter, you know, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit is poured out on the believers, when the church really gets its first jump start, we find out that Peter gets up and he starts preaching, and the people that are listening say, well, what do we do? What are we supposed to do? And Peter right away, he says, repent and be baptized. Wow. What are we supposed to do? You're supposed to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And it says, you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then he says that this promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call. For everyone who comes to Jesus Christ, this is our mission. This is our commission. This is what God says. He says, I want you to repent. I want you to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For the forgiveness of your sins, you receive the Holy Spirit, and it's for everybody. Now, there's a lot of people in a lot of different denominations that argue different things about this. But the Bible says what the Bible says. The Bible, if you read it, if you can read on a fifth grade level, you can read the Bible and understand it. That's the wonderful thing about God and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, this is not for intellectuals. This is for people. This is for everyday people to read and to learn and understand. And it says, I want you to repent and be baptized. Peter says that to the first believers in the church, and it says that about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So they had a big baptismal service, you know, happening. They had a lot of people getting dunked that day. And a lot of things happened because they did exactly what God said. You see, the first step to becoming a disciple of Christ is to repent. And that's why, you know, we ask, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And do you accept him as your Lord and Savior? And are you willing to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that you can carry out the power of this? This is our first. Our first is we vocalize the following. We vocalize this. This is the outward declaration of an inward change, okay? Now we can think something on the inside. You know, you can believe in a truth on the inside and you can believe it for all your worth, but until you speak it, does it really matter? It matters for you, but it doesn't matter for the world. And that's why Jesus says, go ye therefore and make disciples. You've got to speak it. You've got to do that. How do you do that? Well, you have to repent. We vocalize the following, this outward declaration. We vocalize the confession of sin. I'm a sinner. The desire to change, I want to change. We vocalize the need for Christ's sacrifice to cleanse us from sin and the power of the Holy Spirit to carry out the life of Christ within us. We vocalize all these things. This is say, this is what I am, believe, this is what I want, this is where I'm going. We vocalize. That's repentance. Repentance is to realize you're going the wrong way and turn around and go the right way. That's exactly the simplicity of repentance. Now, it's simple, but it's not easy, is it? Right? Because the enemy is always along the way going, turn around. You don't want to go that way, turn around. And he does it from the very beginning in trying to get us all tripped up on baptism. How many teachings, how many doctrines are there on baptism? Well, you need to, you don't need to, you need to get sprinkled, you need to get baptized, you need to, you know, immersed, yada, yada, yada. Why wouldn't the enemy want to trip us up from the very beginning in our walk? You know, our repentance and our confession, that's usually not a problem. You know where the problem comes? Is getting somebody to agree to be immersed. Think about it. Why is this so hard? I want you to think about that as we're talking about this. The second step of our process is to be baptized, and that is the outward act of inward changes. It's the outward act of an inward change. It's not only vocalizing it, but saying, you know, it's like it's like saying, okay, who wants to volunteer to do this? I'll volunteer. And then if you don't go do it, did you really do it? And you see, baptism is that. God says, I don't want you just to think about it. I don't want you just to speak it. I want you to do it. And you see, baptism is a very important part of this process because it is training us to hear, to think, to accept, and to do. At the very beginning, he says, I want you to repent and be baptized. Go ye therefore and make disciples, baptizing them. It's a very crucial part of, you see, it's supposed to be one of the very first acts of obedience. To repent, to confess your faith, and to be baptized. So, why is it necessary? Now, I've given you a couple of clues why it is. It is necessary because it is the ending point of your old life and the beginning of your new life. I know exactly when and where I was baptized. And I know why. Because I wanted to get rid of the old life and I wanted to have a new life. Do you realize that Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River not very far from where the Israelites crossed into the Promised Land? If we go back to the Old Testament, we know that the Israelites came out of slavery in Egypt. God says, okay, you've been in slavery for 400 years. Now I'm going to take you and I'm going to give you a land of your own. I'm going to give you a land that is promised to you. I'm going to give you a land of milk and honey. Now, God says in order to do that, you have to go through the Jordan River. And they said, we can't go through the Jordan River. It's at flood stage. And God miraculously backed up the river. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't get immersed. If we baptize next week, in Spearfish Creek, and we walk down there, and God holds the river back up, you just come down and stand there and get back up. Chances are, if you get baptized, you're going to get wet, okay? But God said that this is a sign. Jesus says, this is a sign. I'm being immersed in the Jordan River. And he said to John the Baptist, John says, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, let's do this because all righteousness must be done in order, is what he said. And so Jesus was baptized. Jesus did not have any sin, but his old life was a carpenter. His old life was basically growing up. And all of a sudden he says, okay, I'm leaving all that behind, and now I have a new life. We leave behind our old life. We leave behind the sin. We leave behind a lot of that. And when we come out of that, we have a new life. We have a new life. We are delivered from slavery into the land of promise, into the land of life, into the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is all about. It is the ending of our old life and the beginning of our new life in Christ. Secondly, it is symbolic of a washing and rebirth. It is a washing. Man, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I really like getting up in the morning or at the end of the day when I've done, I just love taking a shower or a hot bath, don't you? And don't you just feel so much better when you're done? And that's what God is saying here. He says, this is a washing, this is a rebirth. He said, when you go under that water, okay, you get down a person that has the sin and the world clinging to you and you won't come back, God says, I have washed you. In Titus 3, 4, and 5, it says, but when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit. And that washing of rebirth is basically referring to Jesus Christ's sacrifice, his blood washing our sins away, and the act of baptism so that we know. It's a symbolic reminder. I've been washed. I've been washed. It's a new rebirth. It's a new rebirth. And we see the same order in Acts 2. We see the same thing when Peter is preaching. He says, okay, I want you to believe. I want you to repent. You're baptized. And then they receive the Holy Spirit, the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Same process. And it's over and over and over through the New Testament, the same process. Thirdly, it shows God that we are ready to obey and follow him. I am really amazed at how many Christians don't realize how important baptism is in their relationship to the Father. And I am amazed at how many Christians will argue about the different types of baptism. You know, I was like, I really don't care. If the Bible says to do it this way, I'm going to do it this way. You know, once again, a reminder why we're an open Bible church. We open the Bible and we follow it. You know, it's years and years ago when Cindy and I, we went to the open Bible church and we're like, wow, this makes so much difference. You know, in our new walk in faith, me being Protestant, her being Catholic, and trying to find something that worked, we just started reading the Bible. And then we went to this church where it says, yeah, we open the Bible and we follow it. And we thought, we found home. You see, open the Bible and follow it. Why do people have to argue what the Bible does or does not say when it says very clearly what to do? That's all I say. It's like, look, how do they do it then? Well, then we started this because there is a drought. Okay, if there's a drought in your area, you pour a cup of water over your head. But we don't have a drought, and as long as Spearfish Creek runs and there's swimming pools and there's hot tubs, we're going to immerse. In fact, a little fact about Solid Rock Church, the first baptism took place in a hot tub upon Charles Street. No, we do not have a hot tub, but one of our neighbors does. Isn't that kind of cool, really? I mean, God says, we can get this done, okay? And I'm just amazed at how many people, like, well, I don't think it's that important. Oh, this, or that, that, and whatever, okay? We are taught in the Bible to make it the beginning part of our journey. Jesus talks about it in the Great Commission, the Acts, in Acts, the apostles and the disciples. It's the first part of our journey. It's the first part of our journey. It's the beginning of the church, how they did it. And I don't know why it changed, but it needs to be done. You see, many say that it is symbolic and, you know, it's not that necessary. But you know something? In my head, when I read something in the Bible, I need to do it. And in the Bible, it says we need to do this. You see, in my head, it says, well, you know, sometimes we think like this, okay, humans. Sometimes we think like this. We think, well, you know, I believe in Jesus, and I make all kinds of sacrifices for God. So I'm okay. But you see, we really need to do what God tells us to do, because in 1 Samuel 15:22, King Samuel got this attitude that he was king, and he waited too long for the prophet to show up, so he offered up sacrifices to God. He was not a prophet. He was not a priest. He was a king. And God got very angry about it, and he sent Samuel down. And Samuel says to King Saul, he says, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? He says, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. What God is saying here, and what God continues to say, is your sacrifices are wonderful, but you need to obey me first. You need to obey me first. If I've said that you need to do something this way, you need to do it. And he took the kingdom away from Saul because Saul thought that, well, if I kind of do okay where God's concerned, I'll be okay. God said, no, if you don't obey me, I can't be fully in. And so sometimes we look, you know, what is God saying to us today here? Well, he's saying this. If you can't put on a pair of swimming trunks and get dumped in the water, how are you going to follow me in the harder things? I mean, think about that. You know, I know that, you know, some people have an aversion to water. Some people don't like water. I know that. That it's a pretty small majority. But, I mean, you know, man, we go to the lake, and I always take my swimming trunks, and part of going camping or part of going on a vacation is usually involves water of some kind, right? And God's saying, look, if you can't do this for me, if you just can't, you know, if you can't put on a pair of swimming trunks or a pair, you know, shorts and a T-shirt or whatever, how are you going to follow me? When God says, I want you to obey me in this, I want you to do this. I want you to do this simple act of obedience. And we're like, well, yeah, but, you know, this church or that, they say this. I don't care what they say. God is saying this. I want you to do this. Think about it. What else are we going to tell God we're not going to do if we won't do something so simple as get our hair wet? Wow. I started thinking about this, you know, years ago, and I started telling this to people. I said, what's so tough about this? Well, I don't know. So what do you mean? What it means is you've got an aversion to really commit totally and obey God. And I think that sometimes baptism, it takes care of that aversion. I got baptized up in Beaver Creek at Four Corners. You think Spearfish is cold? Holy moly. And I remember Pastor Lowell Lunsford, he's baptizing me, and he says, Jim, he says, if Jesus can't get the devil out of you, this creek will freeze it out of you. I'll trust you. But you see, God is saying, this is a pretty simple thing. So why do we fight so much? I believe the enemy puts it in our roadblocks in our way, and he has in the church. He's put roadblocks there to stop us from just basically saying, I want to go from here to here to here. I want to get this done. I want to do this the way God wants it done. And if you're visiting with somebody this week or whatever, I just say, you know, it's a pretty simple thing, but it's pretty important to God. Pretty simple thing. You see, I put this in your bulletin. Don't let the enemy derail your faith before it ever leaves the station. That train's not going to go down the track if it falls off the tracks right there at the station. And God says, I want your faith to be solid with me. I want you to know. There's a lot of other reasons we'll talk about next week, you know. And we won't be quite maybe as convicting next week, but there's so many reasons why the enemy wants to derail our train right at the station. But God says, I want relationship with you. John 15, 9 through 11, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. It's not about rules, it's about relationship. It's about love, Jesus is saying here. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. You see, Jesus Christ went to John the Baptist and got baptized because God put it in John the Baptist's heart to baptize for sins. And Jesus went to the river because the Holy Spirit put it in his heart to do this. Jesus says, if you obey me like I obeyed the Father, okay, you'll remain in my love. And he says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. You see, when we come to the Father in obedience, we're showing him that we love him, and he pours out his love, and with that outpouring of his love, there's joy. I don't know about you, but I want to live in all the joy I possibly can because the world is full of joy suckers. And we need joy. We need that joy. To obey God is to be surrounded by his love and filled with his joy. And that's what I want for all of us. Let's pray. Father, we come to you and we thank you that, Lord, you make things very clear for us. And I ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to just clarify anything that Lord, might have been cloudy, anything that we might have had a question about. Just clarify it for us, Lord, and set us, Lord, set us free of anything in the past that would hinder us in our obedience with you. Set us free, Lord, to be walking with you, to be walking with you in joy and in love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, all of you, and welcome this morning. And you know, I know with me, you know, this whole baptism thing, and I had been a Catholic, and so I was sprinkled as a baby, you know, and that's just the way it was. Well, it's a funny thing about when you start walking in relationship with him, he just kept nudging that we were going to a church where definitely, you know, baptism was a part of that whole you needed to do it sort of a thing. And I made excuse after excuse after excuse, because I think that's what we do when we don't want to do something. Well, I already did that. I'm okay. It's all okay. But I knew something just kept at me and kept at me and kept at me. And I thought, okay, all right. So I'm going to do this. I'm just going to do this. I'm going to quit making excuses, and I'm going to do this. And I did. And the thing that happened there for me is it broke the excuse-making in me. Because, you see, I just obeyed. I wasn't comfortable with doing that. It wasn't in my background. It wasn't the way I grew up. It wasn't a number of many, many things. But the bottom line is, as uncomfortable as it was what God was saying to do. So I needed to take that step of obedience. And it was the first step in, the first right step into step after step after step of obedient things that I would do in my walk instead of just always making an excuse for them. And there is a thing, and you mentioned it this morning, and it is this: can you be saved and can you actually get into heaven without being baptized? Yes, absolutely, you can. It isn't required for that. It's required for those of us that are walking around down here, and God is saying, I need to take you further in your walk, and it begins with this. It begins with this act of obedience, because you're always going to make excuses in your head. And that's the part that quit, is that stuff that rolls around in your head. If it just goes on in your thought process, the reason he wants you to make a declaration and actually say it, it's the outward sign of an inward change. The reason he wants you to do that is because he needs you to do that. He needs to get it out of between here and here. He needs to get it out of your thoughts, and he needs to get it into your application, into your action. So it really is a very important step in your walk. Anyhow, so something that we all need to do, and it does pave the way. It does pave the way.